can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Could you tell me this? I wasn't watching, but could you tell me this? Nick Kyrgios, you know, the fated, who I actually don't mind, quite like his antics and all that, and he adds a bit of colour, played in an exhibition match against the hero of Australian and world tennis, Novak Djokovic, who quite rightly refused to be vaccinated because he said it was a sham, and it is. He's one of the conspiracy theorists, you know, those who are critical thinkers are considered conspiracy theorists. He played a exhibition match against Novak Djokovic, Nick Kyrgios, and then has withdrawn from the Australian Open. What is wrong with that boy?
He may have twigged an injury or caused an injury.
Twigged. Well, you mean tweaked?
They're fairly fit, and when you
tweaked,
when you're fit,
a twig is something one of those birds sit on that you watch.
Tweaked an injury or a muscle, tweaked a muscle or a joint, and
in his ankle.
Well, you know what it's like. Geez, you got bad ankles. You know how you did them.
So you played 300 games.
Yeah, and I know exactly.
299 of them were with injury.
Yeah, that's right. So.
Probably the first one you played wasn't, and then after that, was a journey.
Yeah, but you can't.
What can't you do? What can't you do?
You can't do on the football field what you can do on a tennis court.
What's the analogy of that, Don?
You know, because you can get away, you can carry an injury and disguise an injury on a football ground, but you can't when you're playing tennis.
So if he couldn't have a pain-killing injection in his ankle?
Well, maybe. Well, I don't know how bad it was. Well, you know what.
Well, it's if he played in an exhibition. Did he come off the exhibition game against Novak Djokovic, was a sellout, and said, oh, gee, I've hurt my ankle a bit, or I've got to withdraw, I'm sorry I can't play. What is that?
Don't know. The man I'm interested in is a compatriot of his who started at the same time.
Have a crack at his name.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
Here we go. Kokkinakis.
Okay. I don't know what his name is, but if you say it's Kokkinakis, are you sure it's Kokkinakis?
Anyway, he is. I think he would have been, had his career not been interrupted in its formative years with injury, he could have been right up as number one or two in the world. He is.
Oh, he could have been if.
The other one is Dimonor. I watched him last night. He's starting to fill out to become a stronger player.
Who?
Dimonor.
I don't know.
He's similar to Leighton Hewitt. You know, they chase balls down, and but he's added a little bit of strength to his stature, and he could really develop.
Okay, his name is, you're quite correct, Don. His name is Thanasi. Is this got the same rod, man?
Kokkinakis.
Thanasi Kokkinakis. Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. I think
I wasn't disputing you. I didn't know his name was Thanasi. Do you think people would say, g'day, Thanasi? What would they call him? Or Cocker? How are you, Cocker? How are you, Cock? That's right. Yeah, that's what they say. How are you, Cock? How are you going, Cock? Or would they call him Thanasi? That's not an unusual name for the heritage that he comes from, but g'day, how are you, Thanny, or Thanasi? Or they just say, g'day, Cocker. I reckon that's what they'd call him. Anyhow, so have a listen to this, Don. So, Craig Tilley, who almost single-handedly ruined the Australian Open last year by that nonsense he went on with
But there's somebody else that's got to be culpable.
Of course, of course. This was the Premier and the government who said that Novak Djokovic couldn't come in. And
well,
then
they
Scott
must have
Morrison,
allowed him to cut, said yes,
and then they
no.
relented because they realised it was a whole lot
anyway,
of bullshit.
Anyway, keep going.
So he has said now.
Very well dusted
he,
under the rug.
This is how we're dividing this country, and I keep saying this, and I don't care if people think what I'm saying is what they think it is, but it's not. Because we're doing exactly the opposite, or I am anyhow. To recognise First Nations Day, Craig Tilley has allowed people who are identifying as Indigenous to get $10 off their ground passes to go to the tennis.
Well, that'll mean he'll be giving a discount to everyone who walks through those
everyone
gates.
Who says, yep, I've got... yes. How would you identify...
You can't question it.
Why are we giving $10 off to... There is plenty of people in this community that would like to go to the tennis who are on falling on hard times. Plenty of people, not just Indigenous people. You cannot get more patronising, virtuous nonsense than this. It is extraordinary. And as I keep saying to you, the number of things you go to where you have to do a ceremony to give thanks, I don't know how many times I've said this and I'll keep saying it. We give thanks and we recognise the past and original inhabitants of this country. We do, and we give thanks to them and all that. After that, could we possibly get over the bullshit that they carry on with about... And I'll tell you this...
Hang on, we've got an important issue coming up.
And the AFL started this. They started that with us. I don't care if you say I do this every week. They started this with Sheehan and you and me about discussing, even having the audacity of discussing why Nicky Winmar lifted his jumper up out at Victoria Park... And that virtuous, pompous, arrogant clown who runs the competition, he fined us $100,000 for vilification. The most disgraceful action brought against anyone for just politically expedient reasons. That's McLaughlin. So... They then, listen to this, so George Pell, this is George Pell, what, no matter what you think of him, he was acquitted, he was found guilty and acquitted 7-0 by the High Court of Australia for the things he was accused of. They, in effect, the High Court, the seven judges, 7-0, said it was bullshit what he was accused of, and they bore no currency and they took no currency for what was said about him. And Bolt, who did a great job on showing that it couldn't possibly have done the things that he said he was, and the people who accused him, some of them were passed on and some of them were just found to be just not just liars. Someone said they should give him a state funeral, and they said, "Oh no, we can't do that."
Have a look at the four people. I could give you four people who've had state funerals.
Just a minute, Don. You're on the same track. So this is. I go to the grand final, and I watch the man who you said is a very good commentator,
Hamish McLaughlin.
I don't disagree with that. Welcome to Country. And then we had a song all the flags and the Indigenous flags. And then we had a tribute to Happy Jack. Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack was given a state funeral at Hamer Hall. He has been... he has 26 convictions against him for a whole range of subjects, a whole range of infringements, drugs, felony, thieving, 26. And we give that man, that person, a state funeral because we are just virtue signalling, trying to say there's them and us. And you wait till next week when Australia Day comes up and all the AFL clubs who joined hands because of because of George Floyd, who was a, I've said this before, was a piece of shit. Shouldn't have been killed, shouldn't have had his neck stood on, but they made a memorial and monument and they burnt half America down for a man who was honestly... And the AFL players, before the game a couple of years ago, stood round in a circle and held hands under the auspices of the people who run this competition. And I've said, and I've said it on the footy show, and I'm saying it again now, if we could just keep out of the politics of sport and let people go with an open mind and watch the game, and why we fly two different flags above our buildings, and why we give thanks. We give thanks. How many more times can we say it? And it goes on and on and on, and it's cringeworthy. And people sit in the stands, and I notice the person who is Indigenous herself, the senator, I can't think of her name.
Jacinta Price.
Thank you. She says the voice that they're trying to put on Parliament. The voice, the Aboriginal community are represented. The 3% of people who are Indigenous are represented beyond comparison to anyone else.
What, they in have Parliament? A voice
in Parliament.
Well, it's 12% Indigenous in Parliament.
And there's three. So I'm just saying they are represented. We gratefully and gladly give them $30 billion a year to do what they like with.
Just hang on for a moment. You brought up something before.
Just infuriating.
I'm frustrated because we've got a referendum. I don't know when it's going to come about the voice. We've got to vote on this.
Yes.
Everybody in Australia. I do not know a thing about the voice. I haven't seen anything of what it is, stands for, or whatever else, and I've got to go along and vote.
I don't know either.
Why isn't that published?
I'll look it up while you're
speaking. No, there's nothing around on it.
Isn't it talking
about it? They've had meetings. Albanese, as soon as he was elected, it was something about the voice.
But what about
information about it?
Because they virtue signal. They think, oh, look at us being... Look at us... apologising for our white privilege and the fact that we're here and we're apologising for who we are. Why is anyone apologising for who we are, who they are? It's us. Lionel Rose, again. We are Australians. The voice. So let me tell you what the
hang
voice...
On.
Go
Can,
on then.
While we're on this tack too, I signed a... And the guys I was with some teammates yesterday having lunch, and a young boy came up with a football book. And he wanted us to sign on the Hawthorn page. It's all teams in the AFL, caricatures and whatever else. So we signed the book. One of the guys I was with, Ian Payton, said, have a look at in the Hawthorn thing. He's called Hawker, the Hawthorn mascot. He said, have a look at Hawker, which I did. And he was in amongst a crowd of cartoon characters. He said, have a look closer. And I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, have a look at that. There was a female hawker. So you had a male hawker and you've got a female hawker. And then I flicked the pages to the others, and each of those emblems or mascots had a female. They consider the mascot to be male, so they had a female as a counter. You're not even interested.
I am. Of course I'm interested,
Don.
How
could you make a female bomber?
I've no...
It's an aeroplane.
Yeah.
An aeroplane. How do you make a female aeroplane?
Ships are gendered by... female gendered. They say she's a beautiful ship. She sailed from Southampton.
A ship's female, feminine.
It is. They call
What's
it,
a plane?
What is a
what
plane?
What do you classify a plane?
Well, I don't know. Well, you just told me.
Well, they've got to have the female derivative of that mascot.
I know. But so this is why it's weighted. It's so hypocritical, and so it is so hypocritical. And when you just insincere. So the voice. I googled the voice, and it said a singing competition on. on the television. So it says The Voice. The voice would be able to table formal advice in Parliament.
I know what it's doing, but more information.
Oh, well,
I want more information. I know all that. We know it's going to be a recommendation to Parliament. I want more than just this generic... I want to know the finer print of it.
Because
who makes it up?
I'll tell you who makes it up. The people who are invested in having this division go on and on and on.
Who makes up the voice? Who are the people who make up the voice?
Oh, I was reading it out to you. Some parliamentary committee that
is. No, it's not. They make recommendations.
A parliamentary committee would consider that the advice.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know.
Are they ever going to get a consensus? Who makes up the voice?
Well, it was a bit like... I don't know.
Anyway, onto a lighter topic. I was watching the races on the weekend. Can I give a shout-out? Because over in Strathalbyn, it's a country race in South Australia, Uppy McGilvray and Dan Clark, and you wouldn't know them, but they're friends, and they've got seven horses that actually go to the racetrack. They are 14 in work, so they've got seven youngsters... And they got seven horses in work. They took three of those horses to the races at Strathalbyn on Sunday, and three horses won. They trained a treble. I know other trainers have done, but they've got a lot more for the return on their buck. That's an outstanding effort.
Are they eating that new age grass that is now becoming very popular, that adds minerals and vitamins from a grass that is impregnated with those things illegally?
Really?
Yes, I've mentioned this once before to you.
Have you?
It is. I'll tell you what it's called. Go on. I'll have to Google it. I'll tell you what it's called. And I told you that when I went to my son, who's upstairs, will verify this. When I went to Queensland, we just did, to fill in a bit of time, did some horse betting races, just on races.
Oh, yeah.
And a man who sold this product,
yes,
and supplied it to horse trainers said he nominated the horses that he feeds and nominated the horses that would win, and every horse that he nominated...
You didn't tell me this story?
I did.
You didn't?
I did. Every horse that he nominated and we bet on won because it had been eating this product.
You sure it's a grass?
I am sure it's a grass. I will Google it. But I'll ask my son, who's upstairs, if he's not listening to this. You can't hear me, can you?
Are you talking to him? Yeah,
it's called... It's called what? It's called Equity Fresh.
No, Equi.
Equi Fresh.
Equi Fresh.
Right, Equi Fresh. He and whether you think it's bullshit or not,
well, I'll this go man, into that. I'll go into that.
Well, I'm going.
I mean, I'll look in for the horses.
We thought, oh yeah, this will be good. This will be good. This is a waste of our money. He was spot on. Every horse that he nominated. That was on Equifresh, which I'm looking up now. Equifresh, just a minute.
I even do that with my horses. I have the soil tested and the minerals go in that are deficient, and they basically live on grass. And you can get Equifresh. A lot of antioxidants and whatever else, and it's a natural feed, grass. But we just overlooked its benefits.
Equifresh, the world's most advanced equine feed. Equifresh, great. The quality and freshness of Equifresh combined with the daily delivery provides horses with the perfect nutritional, and it goes on and on. He's part of the company, and he is an investor, invested in it. And I said, oh, yes, it'll be good. We'll back all the horses that are eating this grass, and every one of them won.
Anyway... That was well done by Uppy and Dan. And I watched whilst they were racing. They switch over to Benalla. Race one at Benalla. You could not believe this. The horses are coming around the home bend. It is the most dangerous of any profession, I believe.
Jockeys, what is?
Jockey being a jockey in a race.
Oh.
Anyway, it happened. It happened race one at Benalla. The week before, if you remember, I told you about the starting gates not getting off the track at Werribee. Well, last week, Sunday, Benalla, race one. They're coming around the home turn. Just before the home turn, watching inexplicably, a horse fell. Off came the jockey in the middle of the pack. So they run over him. They go no more than 30 metres. They're just coming into the straight. Another jockey goes down. He lays on the ground, doesn't move. They quickly move the camera off him. So two jockeys in the space of about 30 metres go down. They then call the race meeting off.
Mm-hmm.
Track too dangerous. Why wouldn't the officials have walked that track prior to the meeting and identified the condition of the track? That is so irresponsible, it is unbelievable. They called the race meeting off.
Well, maybe they did walk and say that.
Well, why didn't they walk before? Because you had, that could have been two fatalities.
They may have walked it and said, no, we consider the track safe enough to race on.
Oh, come on, mate.
Well, it's all right after the
event. Jeez, I pity those jockeys. Once they get under the legs of those horses, like you got them galloping across you.
Of course we pity the jockeys. What about MotoGP? Do you know, reckon, how about that for being a dangerous sport? MotoGP, where they do 340K down the straight on a motorbike. Or giant wave surfing, where they surf 80-foot waves.
It's a little bit well, is it a profession?
What? What, MotoGP?
Well, no, the wave riding.
What? Is it a profession? Is it a sport? It's a sport, Don. Paddling out.
Being a jockey is a profession.
It's a sport.
It's a profession. It's the only industry that kept going. Racing was the only industry kept going in Victoria through the pandemic.
Everything's a profession. Every sport or every activity you do is a profession, Don. That's the very nature of the word. So Don, and so here, so this is, you finished there with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have a listen to this. There's a company out called Net Zero, that they have now marketed because they said 27,000 trees are felled a day to make toilet paper. They're making reusable toilet paper. That is, you wipe your ass with...
you can buy that now. It's called recycled paper. Is that what you're talking about?
Don, Net Zero is you wipe your ass with toilet paper, yes, and then you wash it. And you put it back on the roll and you keep using it.
What did they do before they invented toilet paper?
Has that got anything to do with what I'm talking about?
It has.
Of you tell me.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Maybe use leaves or... Don.
No, that's a valid question.
I don't know. What did they do? What did they do before they... invented the wheel? How did they push things around? Don, would you go to a house or a business or go into a toilet where there was reusable toilet paper on a roll that had been washed with someone else's shit off it? Would you wipe your bottom with someone else's paper that...
Perhaps you've got to take that rag with you in a bag, a sanitary bag or something, do you?
This is a company that's marketing Net Zero toilet paper because they said
they're
trying to save the planet from losing 27,000 trees a day by making paper.
Talking about toilets and papers, when we were youngsters, do you remember just sitting over a hole with a board across it and you used the telephone? Remember the old Pink Pages telephone book?
Are you seriously asking me, do I remember sitting across a hole with a board on it using a telephone
as book? Toilet paper.
I don't know where you were brought up, Don, or what where you lived.
That was in the country.
Well, I lived in the city and went to a...
Oh, you went to the college.
I went to a boarding school. Oh. And we didn't sit over a... board.
So you never had a night man come around once a week and he'd go in and take the pan out to the truck?
Of course, Don. Of course a night man, the night carter, used to come round and get it, but you didn't sit over a board. You sat on the barrel that he, or on the bucket that you were going to crap into, and then he would come and pull it out
but
the
in
back
the country,
where the flap was.
If you went to sporting events or whatever else, that's all they had.
God almighty. Did I sit over a hole with a board on it and wipe my ass with a telephone book? Seriously, Don. No wonder
things
you're...
Things have changed.
Oh, really? Shit, eh? Yeah, no, I went to the Holiday Inn a couple of weeks ago in Collins Street, and the room I rented was $800 a night, and bugger me, did I walked into the bathroom and there was a board with a hole in it and a telephone book hanging on a hook. And I thought, shit, they haven't caught up with the times. The Holiday Inn or...
They're saving money.
Or the Hilton Hotel. Yeah. In fact, some of them don't have a board. Some of them just have a hole and you just squirt from the door, hoping most of it goes
in
the
in
hole.
Singapore.
And then the orderlies or the maids come in and hose it down with a... What the hell are you talking about, man?
You've been to Singapore?
Hmm?
You've been to Singapore?
Yes.
Well, last time I went was in the 70s, and that's what you had to aim pretty straight. All that was a hole
in
the ground.
70s, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the great hotel called in Singapore?
Raffles.
The Raffles Hotel. I don't doubt if they have a board there.
No, I think that's a little upmarket.
Since 50 years ago, you shit into a hole in Singapore,
yeah.
Did you? God, where were you staying?
No.
At a caravan
park.
This
was down the park going across on the chairlift to an island.
Now,
but anyway, I also saw, did you see through, you've got to take it, these people certainly think differently, entrepreneurs. Cameron Brooks, who's made his name from IT, and also Twiggy Forrest from mining, unfortunately their company's, I think, gone into voluntary liquidation, but they were trying to put together a solar...
Clothes
program,
dryer?
No, program or whatever, and supply Asia with electricity in the Northern Territory.
Mm.
Now, they were going to lay cable to Asia.
Under the ocean.
Under the ocean.
We've
but
done
they were
this.
Going to generate in the Northern Territory,
yep.
I don't know where, huge
yep.
solar farm.
Yep.
But it's gone into voluntary administration.
Of course.
Now, why, and I've, not that I'm a smarty, but that's what I think we should be doing in Australia. Why wouldn't you supply Australia?
Exactly. Why would you send it overseas?
Exactly.
We spoke about this 2 years ago on this very podcast.
What's that?
About that exactly thing, us exporting energy across a pipeline, a cable under
Who?
The sea.
We?
Yeah, we did on this. I'm not saying you should remember, but we did. Because at the time I said, what in God's name wouldn't we look after ourselves first before we're doing all that?
But obviously it's a money-making thing for both of them, and they're environmentally aware.
Yeah, so much money-making that they've gone out of business.
Beg your pardon?
So much money-making they've gone out of business.
Yeah, but they couldn't agree on, I don't know, the outcome or structure or direction of the company. But there is an idea. Why couldn't we? It was somebody else came up with the idea of diverting water from the Gulf country in up in Queensland.
Yep.
An entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But these people think.
Pratt
was
Pratt.
It?
Dick
okay,
Pratt.
Okay. Well,
said,
these people think differently and bigger. Why don't we instigate some of these
Arnhem
things?
Arnhem Land goes underwater for 6 months of the year, and Dick Pratt said, "Why don't we put a big pipeline from where the reservoirs are or where all the water collects and pipe it down to Victoria?"
You sure he wasn't talking about the Gulf country? Arnhem Land.
Well, that's the Northern Territory, isn't it?
It's an island, isn't
Arnhem
it?
Land. Isn't Arnhem Land's another name for the Northern Territory, isn't it? Maybe it's not, Don. I should know that. Yeah. I'll check that in a minute. Now, this is I'm showing you, so you know. No, I'm not making it up. This is a news item. Breaking news: a 38-year-old man who forgot to put his parachute on has died in a tragic fall. Scientists say they are baffled as to what may have caused his death.
Scientists are baffled.
Scientists say they are baffled as to what may have caused his death. Well, I'll read that out again.
No, I've got it.
There's a man forgot to put his parachute on, jumped out of a plane.
I'm trying to digest it. Why would...
And there's a picture of him. There's a picture of him falling out of the plane. And and they're baffled as to what may have caused his death. Do you think the scientists might have thought that because he didn't have a parachute on, that would probably have caused his death? Do you think that would probably be an explanation?
I think it's out of their realm of expertise.
Follow the science, you reckon? So, which begs the question, it is not necessary, do you know this, Don? It's not necessary to wear a parachute if you want to go skydiving. It's only necessary to wear one if you want to do it again. That is sort of a joke, Don. That registered nothing on the Richter scale on your face. It remains stone-faced and ashen, as it does always. Do you think that's humorous? It is not necessary to wear a parachute if you want to go skydiving. It is only necessary to wear one if you want to do it again, which is a bit like the scientists are baffled as to what killed the man who jumped out of the plane without a parachute. Is any of this getting across to you? Have we got a shield in front of us, a screen that you can't hear what I say? So you've got any topics?
Well, you probably...
I've
got an environmental topic. For years they've been saying about the Murray being blocked. Do you know the Murray? Do you know now, for the first time in years, the mouth of the Murray is now open? Fish are going crazy. So if you want to go fishing, if Rex hunts around, he should take a boat out to the mouth of the Murray River and go fishing. He would have a ball. The feed that's coming down, the fish... And, as I said, the first time the Murray's been unblocked because of the amount of water that's been built up.
Has Rex rung you lately?
Yes, he did. He didn't return my call. He did ring a couple of days ago.
I said, has Rex rung you lately?
Yes,
you
a couple
said
of days ago.
He didn't return your call.
No, I rang and returned the call, but he didn't return it.
The other
thing I've been watching, sorry to cut you off, and I find why... I think Adelaideans, South Australians, that's an easy way to put it, come up with some very innovative ideas. Innovative ideas. One was the Grand Prix. You remember the Grand Prix? It started over there.
And
it was pinched by Melbourne.
I went to it. It was fantastic.
Okay, pinched by Melbourne, but they came up with it. The first Grand Prix, well, not the first, world-class
First Grand Australian Grand Prix, really.
The other thing they came up with, and that was taken off them, the other thing they came up in our sport was an internationally ranked three-day event, which was held in the park. It was a tremendous venue, as was the Grand Prix around the parks of Adelaide. And the next one they've come up, and I'm just waiting for this to be pinched, and that is the Tour Down Under, the bike race. It is fantastic, and there's world-class cyclists riding.
Who's trying to pinch it?
I'm just waiting for another state to come along and try and outbid Adelaide.
Where does it go from?
Well, it's around the hills of Adelaide. They have the Criterium in the city and all the rest of it. Tremendous setting. They're very innovative over in South Australia. Way they think ahead, it's been going for a few years now, but it's really gaining strength.
Melbourne Special Events might try and get
Melbourne,
it to
Sydney or
to ride
else
it around the Great
the
Ocean Road
idea.
Or something.
They cannot come up with an idea themselves, so they go and pinch.
Melbourne Special Events.
Outbid.
Melbourne Special Events tried to outbid the Melbourne Special Events tried to outbid the Sydney to Hobart yacht race. Pinch that from Sydney. That's another joke, Don. How could you pinch the Sydney to Hobart?
Offering more money.
Well, then it wouldn't be the Sydney to Hobart yacht race, would it? It'd be the Melbourne to Hobart yacht race. That's another attempt at humour, Don.
There's already a
I've had four attempts at humour today, and you have not. It's either me the way I tell it, or it's you that you're a dullard, or a dolt, not an adult, a dolt. Incidentally, Barney McCusker, the retired orthopaedic surgeon.
No, he's back in work. They've asked him to come back. There's a shortage of surgeons.
Okay.
And they've asked him to come back. And he's working.
Well, he's a devotee of the show here. And he writes letters to me and gives us suggestions. And we're very appreciative of him doing it. He said when you were talking about camel toes last week, about women getting fake camel toes and sticking bits of pizza dough down their front to look as though they had a camel toe or a more protruding Mount of Venus or whatever you call your minge. And then I said, oh, well, there's a show on television called My Gigantic Cock. Did you catch that? Did you watch My Massive Cock? Did you look that up? No, I didn't. Well, Barney sent me a text, and I'm not sure what it meant, so maybe you can help me. He said, listen to the show. This was last week. He said, you sounded like the Three Stooges. Not sure which one. Oh. You sounded like the Three Stooges. And I texted back. I said, thanks for the feedback, Barney. I'm not sure what that means. Do you think he was criticizing?
He could be a devotee. Of the Three Stooges, and that might have been a compliment, do you think?
Or it might have been saying, mate, what are you talking about, all this nonsense? And they were proper topics that you brought up. You brought up the one about
feedback from that. Camel toe. Somebody came up and suggested...
Camel toe.
Went a little bit further and started talking about the merkin.
The what?
Merkin.
Merkin.
I didn't want to go down that track. It's amazing who comes up to you in the street and listens to this show.
What's a merkin?
I don't know. I didn't bother. He said,
I don't know what a merkin is.
Either.
Do you know what Huygen is? Now, Huygen, and this is a medical term, Huygen is the gap between, now this is not rude or not salacious or grubby, this is the gap between a woman's, where her thighs join her torso, and it's the gap between where her other leg joins her torso. It's that gap. It's called a Huygen.
What's it called on a male?
Well, it doesn't have a gap because you've got your plums and your dick there, Don. The gap between a woman's legs is not... I'm not talking about her vagina. The gap between a woman's legs when you look at her with jeans or pants, slacks on, is called Huygen. That's a medical term.
And there's not a term...
And what was the term you said?
Relevant term for a man.
Now, because they don't have a gap, Don. How can you have a gap? You've got bits of apparatus there, namely a couple of plums... And your scrotum, and your bag, ball bag, and your penis, Don, if you like me to do the medical term. What was the word you mentioned then? I'm going to look it up. What was it called? Mergen.
Merkin?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Well, I wish we had.
Merkin. Merkin. M-E-R-K-I-N. Merkin. Merkin. You're quite correct. A merkin is an artificial covering of hair for the pubic area. So some people who might get, I presume women, get a Brazilian, and if they want to not have a Brazilian just on occasions, they get an artificial covering of hair to make it look as though they've got pubic hair. Is that what it is?
I don't know. The fellow too. Well, how did that come to our thing on the camel toe?
Yeah, well, he's quite right. Merkin, M-E-R-K-I-N.
I didn't want to go and look into the merkin.
You're not going to look into the merkin?
No.
When was the last time you looked into the merkin, Don? Has it been a while or... In fact, in days gone by, you didn't have to... There was no such thing as an artificial merkin. Everyone just had a natural merkin. Because people didn't shave the merkin. Didn't shave the beaver. That was just... What do you mean?
What did you say, leave it to beaver?
Didn't shave the beaver. The beaver is a slang term.
Talking about the old television show, Leave It to Beaver.
I don't think that would be on anymore now because the people would say, oh, shit, you can't call the show. Leave it to Beaver. You know, got the father and the mother and the father and the two kids watching the television and call Leave it to Beaver.
How would Barry Humphries go down there with his show? Do you think he'd be politically correct?
Well, he's been... Not only is he he's an absolute star and the most talented person just for what he did in the day, they've taken his name off one of the...
Barry Humphries?
Yeah, they've taken his name off one of the rooms or...
Why?
Because he's... They consider him in this woke society, they consider him in one of the... conservatories or theatrical rooms or something, they've taken his name off the Barry Humphries room because they said he was considered politically incorrect, which in those days wasn't politically incorrect. It was called humour. It was called entertainment. But
I wouldn't have saw that man perform in the city and I laughed so much I was in agony. I didn't want to laugh. I couldn't laugh anymore because it just hurt me to laugh.
He did Sir Les Patterson and Sandy Stone and Dame Edna. And he's a star.
And to sit in the audience hoping he wouldn't spot you.
That's right.
He used to
rip the shit out of you.
Hey, talking about food, my little friend down in Mornington, Kate Save.
My little friend.
Yes.
How patronising is that?
Oh, this my is friend.
Kate Save. Yeah, my little
well,
friend.
Well, she is small because I went... I saw her the other day. She's small. She's not tall. But anyway, a very smart lady. I've really swung over to this stuff because instead of buying...
Is this an ad?
My fish and chips... Well, it is. Well, I'm just telling you. I've saved the wrappers. You ready? Cottage pie with cauliflower mash. That's what I had. One meal. Chili con carne, that's what my son had. He's now a devotee.
Is he paying for it?
Don't know. That is a very good point. He went to school with Kate.
Little Kate. My little friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
He went to school with her at Padua. I had Italian meatballs and also, this was beautiful, Italian meatball soup. So there were my five meals Italian from Kate Save.
So you've brought the actual wrappers in.
I have. Only reason I can remember is I'll do it again next week.
Will you?
I'll go down and buy some.
Kate's coming in next week.
Is she?
Yep.
Oh.
I got a text from her. She said, I'm dropping by.
Oh, really?
Maybe to see, you can say hello to your little friend when she comes in.
Okay.
Her husband is He's a grinder.
What, coffee grinder?
No, not a coffee. He's a knife sharpener.
No, that's a father.
What?
A father.
Oh, father's a knife sharpener.
Yes, he made those balls. That's his recipe. You know those balls Melbourne.
I thought her husband was
Dim Sims.
Is she married?
Yes.
Oh, I thought her husband was a knife sharpener. Father.
He's responsible. It's his recipe for those balls, the South Melbourne Dim Sims.
Now, you will say immediately that you agree with this, but I want you to think about this. The Russian tennis players, if you're from Russia or Belarus, and you're a supporter of a Russian tennis player or a Belarus tennis player, and I think Medvedev is one, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to take the colours of Russia or Belarus into the theatre as a headband or a flag even or a scarf to show...
Hang on, into a theatre?
Into the tennis.
Oh, tennis, right.
Yeah, to show that you support your countrymen.
Now, that's interesting.
They've banned the colours because Russia has invaded Ukraine. And the nonsense they carry on about Ukraine. Feel very sorry for Ukrainians and all that. But Ukraine is no more a democracy than Russia is. Do you know that Zelensky has banned the opposition parties? He's jailed Christian priests. He has banned certain media outlets. And the US government have given Ukraine $200 billion and not $1 has been accounted for. They have no idea where it goes or who it goes to. And why we are involved, why we are involved, if we are at all, in the dispute between Ukraine and Russia is beyond me. And why, if you support someone from Russia who, by no fault of their own, Medvedev can't be held responsible for where he was reborn or Belarus, why you can't say you're a supporter of his by having a little scarf or whatever showing that you're the Russian flag? I mean, it's why can you wear a German flag? I mean, well, how long does Hitler, what Hitler did? Why can you have anything that displays anything about any government? How can that be banned in sport?
Can I mention, you've just brought something to my attention, because I watched Alex de Minaur play last night and I wondered who his opponent was, and I found that he came from Taipei. But hang on. I'm watching, and there is his name. I can't pronounce it. But I was trying to pick his nationality out by the flag.
Yep.
But then the flag was kind of blank.
Yep, because it's China.
And let me finish, and I'm deducting. So they have a break.
Deducing.
Deducing. And I thought, hang on, Taipei. Then I looked around the arena. One of the big sponsors is a China, because there's Chinese writing. And I thought, shit, I wonder if there's a conflict between that Chinese advertising and Taipei.
Spot on. That's absolutely correct. Because China doesn't recognise Taipei.
I understand that, but I just saw... Yeah.
So this is Craig again. Craig, bending and folding to nonsense. Stuffed up the last tennis Australian Open.
Yeah, but he was never held accountable. Who held him to account?
Exactly. That's right. People, I'm going to read this out again, Don. I'll read this out again. Our society is so dumbed down and indoctrinated that anyone who's a critical thinker is perceived as a conspiracy theorist. That is about as accurate a statement as you can get. Now, we're going to close. I don't know if you've got any more to say, but we're going to close this off, Don, now. We've not heard from Phoebe. We've not heard from the doctor. The doctor, James Stewart, is coming in next week about the marijuana oil, which is going just gangbusters, medically grown shit that is good for you.
I would have liked to have talked about the transgender father, the Canadian, who wants to start in his new life as a six-year-old girl, but we'll do that next week,
That's a very interesting thing. There's a Canadian man who, because the court awarded the custody of his children to his mother, says that he wants to transgender into being a woman so he can get custody of his kids, because courts 80%, 80 to 20 give custody of their kids to the mother. So he said, well, I'm a woman, I'm signalling as a woman, I want custody of my kids. He's just exploiting the system. He's a sensible man. I saw him being interviewed and he said, it's ridiculous. He said, I can't get my kids because I'm a person. He said, so I'm saying I'm a woman now. And they're bucking up at him. They're kicking back at him and saying, oh, because if you say you identify as a woman, you've got to be considered a woman. You've got to call them by their name. You can't dead name them, Don. On that particularly somber and hypocritical and ridiculous note, we will wind it up. Anything, finally, nothing?